AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Abortion opponents gathered in the nation's capital today for the annual March for Life and to celebrate the Supreme Court's ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. The abortion issue is now up to the states. CBS's Willie James Inman has the latest.
With Congress divided, the most notable fights are taking place in the states. 22 states have already enacted full or partial abortion bans, although some of those have been struck down in the courts. On the other hand, 21 states have enshrined abortion rights into law.
Defense leaders have been meeting in Germany, discussing future aid for Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett says time is of the essence.
This equipment needs to be moved in very quickly because Ukrainian intelligence and, to a lesser degree, U.S. intelligence is suggesting that the Russians are essentially getting ready to mount a massive spring offensive, a counteroffensive.
Sending tanks to Ukraine has been a sticking point for the leaders. Attorney General Merrick Garland speaking to the nation's mayors in Washington about the fentanyl epidemic.
The amount that could fit at the tip of a pencil is a potentially lethal dose. And increasingly, we are finding that many people who are taking fentanyl do not even know that they are taking it.
Google is laying off 12,000 workers. KCBS's Matt Bigler has the story.
One of those 12,000 now former Google employees took to Twitter to say this came as a total and nasty surprise. Cassie Gomez works in Silicon Valley.
I think unfortunate and overwhelming to think about all those people that are in this area that can now be in unemployment.
Google, Microsoft, and Amazon have all recently announced at least 10,000 or more layoffs. Tech expert Russell Hancock says tech companies scaled up hiring over the last 2 years.
The pandemic was a bonanza for tech. There was all kinds of hiring that went on. The bonanza is over.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, Mountain View, California.
Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says he's running for re-election in 2024.
I have been really grappling with what to do with respect to my time in the Senate, and I'm very happy to announce that I'm going to run for a third term in the Senate.
And now, a story with a happy ending.
Jess Kelly, a 39-year-old woman, was 3 weeks away from her due date.
I'd been laying in bed, not feeling well.
Then her Apple Watch began giving her alerts that her heart rate was high.
It went off the first time, and I thought it was strange. Then the second time, maybe 10 minutes later. And when it went off the third time, I thought, okay, something's going on.
When she got to the hospital, she was in full labor. Her blood pressure was dropping. She was also losing blood. 3 hours later, the baby was born. Her advice to those who have smart watches?
Listen to it.
CBS's Steve Foote.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. 6 years after the attack, 39-year-old Kevin McDowell of Madison has been convicted of second-degree sexual assault. The victim went to the hospital after the assault in 2017 for an examination. Investigators linked McDowell's DNA from that sexual assault kit to another case. Attorney General Josh Call praised the survivor and the investigators and prosecutors who fought for justice. A growing number of young children are battling mental health issues and suicidal thoughts. Health officials say emergency departments are seeing 3 times the number of pediatric cases than they did a decade ago. The largest increase is in suicidal ideation and drug and alcohol intoxication or overdose. In the last 4 years, they've seen the highest increase in kids younger than 14. There's a lack of therapists and clinicians who are trained to care for children. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK. Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I'm going to start with something that everybody's been talking about. It's been all over the news. People have speculated on this network, on every network, as to who did it, who done it. Sherlock Holmes mystery. Who disclosed, who gave a copy of the preliminary opinion in the Dobbs case, to the people who publish it? And people sort of get it. They think they know it. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to solve it conclusively right now in this segment. And we're going to get deeper into it and deeper into the clues. And I don't think there's any doubt who did it. And here's my thinking. It's a several month investigation, many month investigation. The authorities, the FBI interrogated, I think, 90 some odd people. There were over 100 statements and interviews made. All these clerks and people had to sign affidavits under oath saying that they didn't do it. But none of the people talked to was a Supreme Court justice, and none of them was a spouse of a Supreme Court justice. So what did they find from interrogating this roughly 100 people? All the law clerks, secretaries, all these people. Under oath, they all said they did not do it, although some of them disclosed that they told their spouses, and then I assume they talked to the spouses of the law clerks, but not the spouses of the justices. So you can rule out with good interrogation techniques. I don't know if they gave them lie detector tests, but I've been involved in representing clients who took lie detector tests, and believe it or not, they're not admissible in court, by the way, but believe it or not, they're pretty accurate and pretty impressive. None of the clerks, none of the secretaries, none of the guards, none of the janitors, none of the staff did it. But it got done. So why wouldn't you interview the justices, nine of them, and their spouses? Why wouldn't you do that? The reason you wouldn't do that is if they told you they didn't agree to do it. And you can say, okay, well, we're going to go to the U.S. attorney in Washington and get him to convene a grand jury and force you by subpoena. No, they're the Supreme Court. They're the Supreme Court. No one elected them. And they're the ultimate decision makers on whether or not a subpoena should be quashed. Now, they themselves were subpoenaed, that would be a clear conflict of interest, but they have no code of ethics. Every other judge in this country, from a traffic judge up to the U.S. Court of Appeals and State Supreme Court, has a code of ethics, but not the U.S. Supreme Court. They've exempted themselves from any code of ethics. And Justice Clarence Thomas, for instance, sat on a case in which he benefited his own wife. There was a subpoena for certain documents of hers, and he voted not to enforce that for his own wife. Fortunately, he was the only one, but they have no code of ethics, and several of them have no ethics at all. Here is my view of it, and I really don't think this is refutable, because they won't deny it. The Dobbs decision, 6-3, upheld the Mississippi abortion law, which limits abortions to the first 15 weeks. Now, oddly enough, that's not that much different from Roe v. Wade in this respect. Roe v. Wade, if you read it, says there can't be any restrictions in the first trimester, which is roughly, what, 12, 13, 14 weeks. It says that some restrictions can be put in the second trimester and even more in the third trimester. As a practical matter, the judges have deferred to doctors and women, which they should. So the image of Roe v. Wade is one where it's up to the doctors and the women. But if you read it, believe it or not, that's not entirely the case. So far, limiting it to 15 weeks is what they do in a lot of European countries. Some of the most advanced European countries you look at, France, Sweden, Germany. However, there was another issue in the case, and that was whether to get rid of Roe v. Wade itself, which didn't have to be done. Justices of the Supreme Court are supposed to address the narrow issue and not go freelancing and shooting their mouth off. The correct legal term for that is they're supposed to address the specific issue and avoid constitutional issues, if at all possible. In the vernacular, which I'm translating for you, it's don't freelance and shoot your mouth off, okay? Well, they freelance and shut their mouth off. They go, okay, we're going to uphold the Mississippi law. And that was 6-3. And Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice, joined in on that. But on the second one, where it was, now should we freelance and shoot our mouth off? Should we reach a constitutional issue? Should we reach a lot of other things? Justice Roberts wouldn't go along with that. He is probably more of a true conservative than some of the others. He said, no way. I'm not going to do it. But it was still going to be, even with him, it would have only been 5-4. So what happened? It is a very, very thinly guarded secret that he worked on Kavanaugh. Now, Kavanaugh is a younger guy, and he's not as hung up on abortion as some of the older people. And it looked as if Kavanaugh would go along with Roberts and say, all right, I'll uphold the Mississippi law 15 weeks, but I'm not going to shoot my mouth off and freelance, i.e. reach a constitutional issue if I don't have to. And then Roe v. Wade would have been preserved. The motivation to release this was not some motivation on the left to, quote, embarrass them, end quote, and get them to, quote, change their mind, end quote. Are you kidding me? The motivation was to squeeze Kavanaugh and make sure that once it was out there that he'd voted a certain way in a preliminary basis, that he wouldn't change. Justice Alito authored the opinion. Justice Alito, back in 2014, was accused. A lobbyist said he tipped us off in advance to the decision in the Hobby Lobby case. How did he do it? He's not stupid. He's not going to just call up the press. He had a guy over for dinner with his wife. And over drinks, he said to him, here's how we're going to decide the Hobby Lobby case. That guy, in turn, told people who were hardcore on the issue, and that's how it got around. Alito denied that he said that, but they never questioned Alito because he's a Supreme Court justice and he has no code of ethics. And yet he's the guy that wrote the Dobbs opinion. Now, The other possibility, but I'm going to narrow it to Alito, was Clarence Thomas and Ginny Thomas. Ginny Thomas was off freelancing as part of the Stop the Steal business, and Thomas has no code of ethics, and he's one of the ones who rule in her favor on his own wife. There is no doubt in my mind that what happened was this. Alito had a guy over for drinks or for dinner. And then at the end of the dinner, he said, you know, this Dobbs thing, here's how it's going to turn out. And by the way, you should go into my library, take a look at some of my books. I'll tell you what, I have a hell of a library. Guy walks into the library and there on the desk is a copy of the Dobbs preliminary opinion. And he takes it. And he's not stupid. He doesn't give it to Politico. Politico is never going to know how this thing originated. And then it comes out. Kavanaugh gets it. He can't switch. There is no doubt in my mind, not only would Holmes solve this, Watson, who's dumber than a $3 bill, his sidekick, his running dog. We're going to the lines. Joanne to Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Joanne?
That you've been covering the devastating consequences of a government shutdown. But there are some things that very few people are mentioning that will be very, very damaging to our nation and the world. Non-essential discretionary federal programs close, and some of those supposedly non-essential programs deal with things like collecting data for climate. I know I'm a professor, okay, and I've done some research on this, and some of the people who collect data for about hurricanes and all that, they get suspended. They can't do their work. They can't communicate with their colleagues to make sure that the devastating consequences of various weather events don't demoralize and disrupt communities. They can't do their work, and it's because it's considered non-essential, and a lot of these people are here in town doing research. In Middleton, we have an outfit that does that. But it's not just the climate data. Economic data are disrupted. You see, data don't collect themselves. I mean, we think of these little robots out there collecting. Somebody's got to organize this and make sure things are you know, the servers are running and all of that. So what we have are major disruptions. And of course, we had a shutdown not too long ago, a few years ago, and that did enormous damage, not just to our relationships with other governments. We share data. For example, I ran into an incredible story about how the kinds of data we were sharing with Canada about wheat and all of that, and crops, all of this was disrupted because these non-essential government programs were put on hiatus. Because of why? It's not a joke, you know, to cut out these programs. And bless you for all of the work that you're doing in this area. We need to speak up. And my next call right now is going to be to Ron Johnson, and Tammy knows this. To Ron Johnson, yeah, and try to do something about this. We need to stop this now. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Well, Joanne, thank you. I love to have you call in. It's great to have a professor call in. And you bring some very, very good information. And here's the deal. This business of only initially cutting out so-called non-essential people is only half the issue. We're going to have a quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
You're looking for real one.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Lows dip down to about 24 tonight under overcast skies. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 33. Chance of snow showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 27. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. I want to pick up briefly on what Joanne just said about the government shutdown. We went into it in some depth last time, but that is going to dominate the news for a long time. We hit the debt limit yesterday. We hit it yesterday. And Janet Yellen is now trying, is in emergency mode, but you don't understand, all of us, what emergency mode is. Emergency mode is that she will pay some bills and not others and juggle things around. She will stop making contributions to federal pensions, with an IOU that they'll pay for it once the Republicans let them do it. They will stop paying some doctors on Medicaid. They'll say, we'll pay you sometime. Some of those doctors are going to have to not take Medicaid patients anymore. And Medicare. They'll also say, we're not going to pay meat inspectors, food safety inspectors, air traffic controllers, maybe just a few of them, have them work 20 hours. This is devastating to this country. And I've gone over the two ways that Joe Biden can stop it. One is a discharge petition in the House. Another one is invoking the 14th Amendment. We're going to talk some more about that, but we're going to the lines right now. Adrian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Adrian?
Hey, Matt, as you've pointed out many times, the 14th Amendment says that the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned.
Right.
And since that's in the Constitution, I don't understand how the Congress can pass a law saying, doing just that, questioning the debt beyond a certain point of the United States. I mean, it would take a Constitution Amendment, another Constitution Amendment to override the 14th Amendment or part of the Constitution. How are they getting by with doing that without with just the say-so of the Congress and not the constitutional amendment?
Excellent question. So let me put it to you this way. I want to get into this. This is very, very important. It's the most important thing facing us right now. A constitution is not self-enforcing. I don't know if people realize this, but there are dozens of countries, repressive countries in the world, who have adopted our whole constitution, every one of them. First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, but they still go at midnight, beat people, drag them out of their house and torture them. And they all say, they deny they did it. You have to mean it when you want to enforce the Constitution. When you have a Republican leadership that has become an enemy of the United States, that does not believe in the Constitution, they act unconstitutionally. Now, here's the deal. The money that we're talking about on the debt limit has already been allocated and much of it spent. This is only a second vote on whether we should pay the bonds on the money that we raised to pay for the stuff. Well, the Republicans are saying we shouldn't pay our bills. Think of it this way. You go out in a credit card and you buy a computer in Best Buy. You bring it home. The bill comes and you go, no, I have to make a separate decision whether I'm going to pay the bill, even though I have the computer. Nah, I'm not going to pay the bill. Now they'll sue you, of course. But who's going to sue the United States? The bondholders, foreign countries? Sure, they can try. That's what's going on. We're one of the few countries in the world that has a two-step process. You vote for the stuff. They all love this vote for the stuff and boast to their constituents. They sell bonds to take out. Basically, it's a loan that you sell a bond. Investors pay into it. You use the money. And then they go, no, but you have to vote a second time on whether we're going to honor those bonds. This is fraud. This is fraud. McCarthy is a fraud. And so is the Republican leadership. They're all frauds. So what do we do? Janet Yellen, it would be as if you fell on hard times and you paid some bills and you waited till somebody to complain and then you paid another one and another. So she is going to shoot it around. And Joanne had just called in to say, well, you know, who are essential workers? That's what she's trying to face right now. Who are essential workers? Only because she's juggling stuff. I think meat inspectors are essential workers. I think the Coast Guard and the FBI are essential workers. They all didn't get paid last time. I think that data compilers, as she suggested, for hurricanes, for climate, for the military, for everything, are essential. There's no such thing as a non-essential worker, but people are claiming there are some that are non-essential. What is being done is holding us up. And Adrian's point, your excellent point, Joe Biden, it says in the 14th Amendment, the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned. It mentions pensions. It uses the word pension in the 14th Amendment. And so now we're going to have to not pay into pensions. That is a violation of the 14th Amendment. If I were president, Joe Biden is president, I would tell the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, pay this stuff. Pay it. Pay it. The 14th Amendment says it. What's holding that up is that there are people in the Treasury Department and in the Federal Reserve who say, well, we need congressional approval. Hey, Joe, fire them, put people in, give them a copy of the 14th Amendment and say, do it. I'm the president. Now, the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, will issue a ruling saying that he can't do it because of Charles I had a blonde beard or, you know, whatever BS that they go back into an English common law. Too bad. Do what Andrew Jackson did. You say to him, you bring him in and say, how many soldiers do you have? How many guns do you have? Keep your goddamn mouth shut. Now, that's why I'm not president and Joe Biden is, because that is a harsh thing. But you are absolutely right. The 14th Amendment says the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned, and you got to pay pensions. It says that in the Constitution, and it's not self-enforcing. It takes somebody to enforce it, and the only one who will enforce it now is Joe Biden. If you had four or five honest Republicans in the House who would issue a discharge petition, we could do it that way. But there are some hard times coming up. We're going to talk about this some more. Quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The annual March for Life today, since the first one, since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise spoke at the event.
Let's continue this battle. Let's win this battle.
A massive data breach at T-Mobile has put the personal data of 37 million customers at risk. Here's analyst Jessica Robinson.
if this was a programming interface that was abused, then what exactly happened here? And why was this type of data even in this programming interface and not more secure?
Google beefed up its staff during the pandemic. Now it's laying off some 12,000 of them.
And now they have to unwind a lot of those hires because they simply didn't have the business to support it going forward and out of the pandemic.
That's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A teenage boy charged with kidnapping and sexually assaulting an 87-year-old woman in Waukesha faces a trial set for May. Khalil Perry pleaded not guilty yesterday. Police say he kidnapped the woman at knife point, robbed her, then assaulted her. Perry's lawyers wanted him tried in juvenile court, but the judge disagreed. There's a new chancellor in charge at UW-Whitewater. Board of Regents is tapping Corey King for the post. He's the fourth chancellor at Whitewater in recent years. Jim Henderson quit last spring. Dwight Watson left in 2021 after a cancer diagnosis. Before that, Beverly Copper left after her husband was investigated for sexual harassment. In sports, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers tells the Pat McAfee podcast this week he needs time to think about his future. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned, not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S. Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Welcome back to Back from the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order, starting with Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday there to you, Matt. First of all, I mentioned it on an earlier show, but they need to hire the IRS agency to go after the tax cheats, very wealthy, and that would help with the deficit a lot. And this is a three-ring circus. Well, it's actually a one-ring circus with about 15, 20 people. But I'm just so thankful we have Joe Biden as the president. He has the experience, and he'll figure out a way, I think, to get us out of this without creating too much damage. I remember going through one of these before, and it was not a good thing. I think it's been going on since the 90s, Newt Gingrich. And the last thing I want to mention, besides the IRS and happy to have Biden as the president, is it's just what's going on in Ukraine. I know you've touched on this before. It's just god-awful. And is there any hope there? And thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. That was, you said a mouthful. We'll be getting into a lot of those in this show and future shows. Always appreciate your call. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean of Eau Claire?
Hi. You know, this disruption of the functioning of government, you know, they're not doing it with weapons, but they're doing it by force, which, you know, your caller gave a really good insight, because I didn't even think of this. This was, you know, Joanne, you know, about the statistics, the data. You can't do a lot of things or advance ideas or anything without data. And I think that is extremely important. Now, they're disrupting, you know, the government. They are disrupting the normal process and activities and things that they have to get done. This is subversive. To me, it's like subversive, you know, attacks against their government. And it just drives me bananas. I mean, I just can't believe this. And then with the Supreme Court justices, Thomas needs to go. The other guy needs to go that, you know, leaked the, I believe he leaked also what he was going to do with Roe v. Wade. And then also there was some kind of working together with some of the super strong evangelicals there with that one judge, which is really, it's alarming, it's sick, and somebody needs to do something about it that has, like, legal ramifications for these people, because this is a crime against all of us, significantly. And then to lie about it and to play games with the people's lives is just, oh, unbelievable, Matt. And I hope you all get arrested. And, boy, we need more people working in the Department of Justice that have some kahunas to go after these people and the damages that they're doing to society and to our government. It's just nuts. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, Matt. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jean. I always enjoy your calling in. I appreciate you raised some very important issues, and we're going to address them. Just to give you, this is not actually funny, but to give you an idea, if you thought that the Republican Party, and when I talk about the Republican Party, I'm not talking about Republican voters. I mean, Republican voters are Americans. They vote as they want. Democrats vote as they want. Frequently, people cross over. They're independent. So I'm talking about a truly, truly corrupt leadership of the Republican Party. Now, let's move to Iowa, okay, our adjacent state. Been to Iowa, great state, friends in Iowa. You will not believe this. You will not believe this. They have a gerrymander. Well, no, they have fair maps, but somehow they got a Republican majority in their state legislature. 39 Republican state legislators in Iowa just came out with a proposal, which could become law, that said food stamp recipients, they call them SNAP recipients, that's an acronym for the program, cannot use the money they get, I'm not kidding, to buy white bread, American cheese, fresh meat, buns with nuts or seeds in them, white rice, pasta sauce, canned fruits, cans of soup, baked beans, cheese slices, butter or flour. Or people who get this money can't buy those things. What the law will say is that they can only buy foods that are approved for the WIC program, WIC, Women, Infant, Children. But a representative of the WIC program came out and said they do not understand what's going on here. The WIC program frequently will have people who are poor who also get the SNAP, the food stamp benefits. The WIC program is designed to supplement the SNAP, the food stamp program, and to provide nutrition for pregnant women, new mothers, and infants. So, you know, an infant may not eat baked beans, but if you see what I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. These characters are trying to pull a fast one over in Iowa. They're trying to say that food stamp recipients, the SNAP recipients, poor people who may not be, certainly not pregnant or women or new mothers or infants, are limited to the foods that the WIC program sets out to supplement other food programs. Now, who in God's name, in other words, people who sign up for this are people who generally are poor, and they frankly have food deprivations, and they want to feed their families. This will now say in Iowa, you can't use this state money, and much of it is federal. I'm hoping the federal government puts an end to this. You can't buy white bread, American cheese, fresh meat, buns with nuts or seeds in them, white rice, pasta sauce, canned fruits, cans of soup, baked beans, cheese slices, butter, or flour. So, you know, I think they want them to go out and buy, you know, who knows what they want them to buy. And the people at the counter are going to what? Have to scrutinize this? You know, there was a lot of support for food stamps among farmers because it's a market for their products. Most people in this country, a very significant majority, approve of it. You do not want to see people who are out of work, poor, can't feed their kids, go hungry. You see that kind of thing in some other countries. You'll see it in India. You'll see it in Africa. You'll see it in Asia. You'll see it in parts of South America. It's a terrible thing. Nobody should go hungry. Everybody's a human being. Nobody should go hungry. This program has worked very, very well. And to have a state legislature get a list like that, it's a sadistic thing, quite frankly. So some mom, single mom, say she has a minimum wage job and a couple of small kids, but she's not pregnant, she doesn't qualify for WIC, and they're not infants, goes in there and the cashier is supposed to monitor this and say, I'm sorry, you have cheese there, you have fresh meat and bread. Do those buns have nuts in them? They look like they have nuts in them. And you can't have pasta sauce or canned fruits. No. Soup, no. Baked beans, no. Butter, flour, no. What's left over? I don't know what's left over. They can't buy alcohol and tobacco. That's already established. This is cruel. This is flat out cruel. And what they really want to do, is get rid of food programs altogether. And, you know, that's Iowa's an agriculture state. Farmers support this program. These people are possessed. And I don't say that in a good way, that they're possessed. They also passed a law there that Medicaid recipients, now that's for health care, have to work at least 20 hours a week. Well, what happens if you have a woman, single mom with two, you know, a four-year-old and a six-year-old and no child care, and she has to work 20 hours a week? And maybe she tried, and what does she do with the kids type thing? Why do you say that she can't have a mammogram? Why do you say that she can't buy butter or flour or soup? Why would you say that? And, you know, the hypocrisy is mind-boggling. A lot of the big box stores, you remember Walmart and a lot of the others, traditionally had paid very low wages. Now they've had to raise them somewhat because of the staffing shortages in stores and industry. But some of them, and even now, will instruct their employees on how to apply for benefits, for Medicaid, because they don't get health care, and for food stamps, because they're getting such little money. They tell them how to do that. They'll give them a booklet. They'll have seminars on how to do it. But then the owners of those groups, like the Walmart family, contribute heavily to Republicans who campaign against Democrats who support food stamps and who support Medicaid. So they are skimming the cream off the top. They're saying, all right, we may only be paying you a little bit, but if you get Medicaid and food stamps, you can make it. And then they give a lot of money to defeat Democrats and some independents and Republicans who support Medicaid and food stamps. And everybody takes this as what, normal? What, normal? Well, this hypocrisy goes on. Somebody alluded before to the Republicans in Congress. Do you realize that in the Oversight Committee now, that's charged with investigating people, you have more 13 of them who voted to overturn the 2020 election. These are the Republican ones. 10 who have advocated impeaching either Joe Biden or one of his cabinet, and 3 who blew off their subpoenas. Scott Perry, for instance. People on there, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Scott Perry, Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert, the woman from Colorado, just put out a tweet directed to Joe Biden threatening him. Here's what she said. Just came out yesterday. Quote, Joe, let's see if your aviators, i.e. his sunglasses, can hold up to all we're about to shine on you. Who talks to a president like that? In the Oversight Committee, who's advocated impeaching him. I mean, who does that kind of thing? Fortunately, they have sent letters, and they're about to send subpoenas, by the way, to the Department of Justice and the FBI to get their files on the investigations of them. Well, today the DOJ came back and said, we don't recognize the validity of those. We here in the Department of Justice do not confirm or deny our investigations. We don't give out anything having to do with the investigations to anybody, especially the people we're investigating. Now, what's going to happen is they will refer that to the Justice Department for prosecution. And of course, Garland's Justice Department won't prosecute. And then they'll go to court and they'll look for Trump judges, and it'll get up to the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court. Now, some of them will say, well, in this case, I'm not kidding, on the Supreme Court, some of them, I don't think a majority. I don't think Roberts would do this. I know that Alito, I know that Clarence Thomas, and I think Gorsuch would. I don't know. I know Thomas wouldn't, and I don't think either Amy Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh would be bold enough to say that that when Al Capone subpoenas Elliot Ness is supposed to turn over to Al Capone all his info on Al Capone. I mean, at some point, is there a line that can't be crossed with the Supreme Court? I think that's one of them. I think that's one of them. But right now, Lauren Boebert's on this committee going to investigate and impeach Joe Biden. Joe, she called him Joe. Let's see if your aviators can hold up to all what we're about to shine on you. Are you kidding me? This is Lauren Boebert. Even in her own district, she won by 500 votes, and it's a very heavily Republican district. People can't stand her out there. This is a lawless committee of people who are criminals. Many of them wanted preemptive pardons, and these clowns are now investigating the FBI and the Justice Department. We're going to a quick break. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Burns, burns, the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 24 tonight under overcast skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 33. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance for snow. Lows around 27. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind today?
I like the way you describe our congressional criminals. We have a list of criminals in Congress like we've never had. People say, well, you can't say that. They haven't been charged. Now, wait a minute. They took an oath of office. In the oath of office, they pledged to protect our country from foreign and domestic terrorism. What they committed was domestic terrorism. They either were participated in it, tried to sell it, or promoted it. So therefore, they are criminals. They just haven't gone to court. I can't believe that Biden, especially with all that's going on, would say, we're not going to have criminals investigating the FBI. This is not what we're about. I think he's got the ability to put a presidential order over Congress. And I would say the order would go something like this. These people have to be censored. They can be there. They could maybe vote. I don't know if that comes under censorship, but they can't speak. If we allow them to speak, we show to all our enemies what a weak country we are. Thanks. I want to hear your point of view and have a good weekend.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, as you always do. You don't let Al Capone investigate Elliot Ness. You don't let Al Capone investigate the FBI. The FBI investigates Al Capone. Several of these people put in for preemptive pardons. What's that all about? I never put in for preemptive pardon. I have a clear conscience. So do you. People put in for preemptive pardons if they violated the law. Bill's exactly right. They are criminals. And now Kevin McCarthy put them on this committee, one of the most powerful committees in Congress, because he's scared to death that any one of them, with the deal he struck, could come out and say, I want a new vote on Speaker, and then four of them or five of them will stick a knife in him and he won't be Speaker. He will let them do anything. He is a dunce. He's been his eyes look dull. There's very little behind his eyes. He has absolutely no integrity. He has absolutely no sense of ethics. He denounces Trump after January 6th, and then he scurries down to kneel in front of him in Florida. He will do and say anything. He will wreck the country so that he can keep the speaker's gavel and swagger around. I mean, that's what's going on. And these people, they ask for preemptive pardons. They, there were over 140 Republicans who voted not to certify Joe Biden. In other words, to overturn the election. They don't care. Bill, thanks a lot. By the way, real quick promo before I get to the next caller. Real quick promo. It's very, very exciting. We have $1 million advertising giveaway only on one day from 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26. You can get $20,000 or more in free advertising for your business or product. $20,000 professionally produced and as a marketing campaign is a big deal. So if you have any kind of small business, if you have friends who do, or if there's it can be anything. It can be a restaurant. It can be a law firm. It can be an accounting firm. It can be any kind of small business you got. Consider taking advantage of it. I'm kind of excited about this one. We're very proud of how Civic Media is expanding around the state. A lot of cities now, we have virtually statewide coverage, and we're shortly going to have statewide coverage. And there you go. Look on our website, civicmedia.us/million. civicmedia.us/million.
It's January 26th, a Thursday, starting at 9 a.m. You can just do a quick application and snag yourself quite a little hunk of free advertising. Go to the lines. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jake of Eureka, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, so I suppose they put Lauren Boebert on the Oversight Committee because she has been arrested four times during the past decade. So she's kind of sort of a, you know, expert personally on the subject of crime, not to mention her husband being married to a person with some obvious sexual problems, but a convicted sex offender, Jason Boebert, her husband, who, got caught showing his junk to underage girls in a bowling alley back there in Colorado before she got elected to Congress. So, they're a real family values couple. They're, of course, total hypocrites like most Republican politicians are these days. So if they're on the Oversight Committee, no one's going to take anything they do seriously at all.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jake. Yeah, this I have not heard any of this as you've described. And I'll tell you what, though. You are absolutely right, though, that she will not be taken seriously. The problem is she has a vote. And, you know, she's not alone. Marjorie Taylor Greene is on that thing. And Scott Perry is on it. He's an insurrectionist. He was the guy. He was one of the architects of it. And so these people are on there. I mean, 13 of them who voted to overturn the 2020 election on this committee, 10 of them have come out to impeach either Biden or one of his cabinet, and 3 of them were subpoenaed and blew it off and said, we're Congress and we don't have to respond. And now they're what, going to subpoena the FBI and Biden? And when they blew off subpoenas and they want to impeach him right out of the get-go, and this Lauren Boebert shoots her mouth off going, quote, Joe, let's see if your aviators, your sunglasses, can hold up to all we're about to shine on you. Jake and Bill before him are absolutely right. This committee is essentially has criminals on it. Several of them wanted preemptive pardons. And the Department of Justice is pushed back and isn't going to honor any of their subpoenas. But judges are going to look at this. And unfortunately, you have 6 people on the U.S. Supreme Court who I have no confidence in whatsoever. None whatsoever. Their probity at all. So stand by. It's going to be a very, very tough couple of years till the next round of elections. And it's not. And speaking of which, I just want to. This is amazing. In Arizona, Ruben Gallego, a congressman, I think a lot of him. Ruben's a good man, combat Marine, and he's a very, very good congressman. He's running for Senate. He's going to oppose Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema became an independent. The problem is Carrie Lake is probably going to run, too. What I am very afraid is that with Kyrsten Sinema running, even though she's now an independent, she has a lot of name recognition down there. Ruben Gallego will have the Democratic nomination, but that's a 50-50 state. What I really don't want to see is Carrie Lake sneaking in. You know, the two of them get 30% and she gets 40, that kind of thing. So stand by. There's a lot of chess being played down there on that board, a lot of chess, and we got to keep an eye on it. We're coming to the end of the show. It was a great show, great call-ins and all, as always, great topics as always. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underle said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is he's never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.